Hi. So, hi, my name is Olaide. Welcome to my podcast called Video. So, if you're just listening to my podcast for the first time, welcome. You're very welcome. Drum roll. I really do not give gifts to first timers, at least not yet. So if you're just listening to my podcast for the first time, you're welcome. I really don't have a signature welcome sound that I use for now. Something that I'm working on. So welcome once again. I've said welcome a lot of times. Oh my god. Welcome. Okay, I said it again. Thank you for finding your way to Visio. Visio is owned by me, Olaide, and Visio is where I get to talk about myself, my struggles, my wins, my, you know, joys, my sadness, my losses, and whatever it is that you think that my life embodies, right? I try to be as realistic as possible. I don't try to add too much or remove too much, or, you know, try to make it look like my life is perfect, because, girl, my life is it's so not perfect. So yeah, welcome. It's been a while. I haven't recorded episodes in a very long time. The last episode I uploaded, I had recorded it in, I think, 2020 or thereabouts, and I just realized, oh, this was still in my draft, and I just decided to upload it because it was Valentine, right? And I still don't have a boyfriend. I've not had a boyfriend in years, by the way. So I just felt, oh, let me just upload something about love, so it won't look like, you know, me too, I'm left out in this whole Valentine's Day thing. So yeah, that was why I uploaded that, what's it called now, that draft that I had. So if you take time to listen to every other episodes that I've recorded, there are more of things that I've been through, and there are also things that I consider reality that I feel like I should talk about. So today I'm going to be going straight into what I want to talk about, and I want to talk about women's reproductive health issues. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a gynecologist, I am not a medical professional, but I can tell you for a fact that women are going through a lot. Woof! I didn't know it was this bad growing up. I don't know if because growing up, I wasn't really exposed to things like, you know, fibroid, endometriosis, PCOS, which other one? Ovarian cyst, adenomyosis, you know, a lot of that. Dysmenorrhea, yes. I wasn't really exposed to things like that, right? Maybe for people who grew up in homes where they get to read a lot of things, or people who grew up in homes where they had medical professionals in their families, maybe it would have been different. But for someone like me who grew up with, my mom was a teacher, my dad is a marketer, so I didn't really grow up in an environment where I knew about all of these things, and none of my family members, at least to my, the ones that I know, none of them had any reproductive health issues. Having menstrual pain was like a normal thing, right? Just take pills, right? Take paracetamol, take Panadol, take, you know, just take something to relieve you of the pain. Sometimes my mom would even tell you to lie down on your stomach and you'd be fine, or you drink hot water. Yes, that was like what we knew, what I knew growing up. So it's crazy growing up, and myself and women around me are having reproductive health issues that, you know, no one talked about when we were growing up, no one talked about when we were teenagers, and we just became adults and we are dealing with this thing. And it's so crazy that this reproductive health issues affect every area of our lives. Finances, mental health, career, relationship, you know, social life, even spiritual life. Like, it's draining. I have a friend, I'm not going to mention her name, but when she listens, she's going to, you know, know that I was actually referring to her. She, okay, so if you hear background noises, it's fine. I try not to see about background noises because for me, it shows how original my podcast is. So yeah, as I was saying, I have a friend who, you know, has fibroid, right? She's been dealing with it for years. And, you know, we talk about it because I am suffering from endometriosis. I don't know what stage it is, but based on what my gynecologists, doctors and surgeons have said so far, it's between stage 3 and stage 4, and those are like very, very critical stages of endometriosis. Like if your endometriosis gets to that stage, it's crazy. Like you are now either planning to have a surgery to remove your entire womb and your ovary, or you're on hormonal therapy, which is what exactly I am on right now. I am on hormonal therapy and pain meds, and you know, yeah, basically, I wouldn't talk too much about what everything is about, but I would allow that, you know, people go online to do more research, because, you know, doing more research and knowing more about these things also helps you to know when, you know, you as a woman or somebody you know who's a woman or a friend or cousin or sister or niece, they are going through this kind of thing, and you would, you know that, okay, this is not something that should be toyed with. It's actually very, very serious situation. So for this episode, I'm going to be talking about ovarian cyst. So before that, I'm going to talk about my friend. So she has fibroid and she's had it for years, and because I've also had ovarian cyst for years now, right? 3 years. I mean, that was when it was detected 3 years ago. So it's been crazy, right? She tells me about her pain, how, you know, during menstruation, it's crazy. Like, that is when the fibroid shows off. And, you know, how pain meds are not working, how both of us had to get tummy massager and warmer, you know, how, you know, we talk to each other. So what pain med can I use? What can I do to relieve myself of the pain? Like, she's the only one that, you know, freely talks to me about the pain she's going through, and I'm also able to talk to her about what I'm going through, because both of us have kind of like formed a community of women going through reproductive health issues, right? So I got to know that I had ovarian cyst in 2020. Prior to that, I never really thought there was anything like that, to be fair, to be honest. I've always had pain for menstruation right from when I was a teenager. Like, I would just take pain meds and I'll be fine. So I developed ulcer. I've had ulcer since I was in primary school, funny enough, but the ulcer became worse when I started using pain meds and NSAIDs, you know, anti-inflammatory drugs. And, you know, those medications, when you take them too much, they mess with the lining of your stomach. And once the lining of your stomach is messed with, it allows your stomach to, you know, produce more acid, and that then results into ulcer, right? So in 2020, during COVID, I was having lots of painful periods. Like, it would stop me from working. Like, I would have to take days of work, just off work, just to, you know, take care of myself and deal with the pains. I'll be rolling on the floor. Like, I wouldn't be able to eat or do anything for 3 days. And then after 3 days, I get relieved, and then, you know, go back to work and continue my normal life. Like, when I'm going through my menstruation, you can easily tell because it shows. Everybody around me knows. I tried hot water and honey. You know, a lot of things that I was told to do. Hot water, taking hot water, ginger. Like, I was told to take ginger. Like, 3 days prior to my period, I would soak ginger in hot water and tea. You know, but it didn't work. And then in 2020, I had a very bad period. Like, it was so painful, more than the other ones that I've had. And I knew that I had to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital, and I talked to a gynecologist. And he told me that it was a ovarian cyst, and they were on my two ovaries. one was like 6 centimeter, the other one was like 7 centimeter, I think. And then he said, oh, that I was always causing my pains. So he said, oh, that since they were not up to 10 centimeters, that he wouldn't advise that I should worry about it yet. And that a lot of times these cysts are functional cysts. So functional cysts, they grow every month once you ovulate as a woman. Then after your period, they dissolve. So it is when they don't dissolve and they form, you know, like a follicle, and then they gather, like the blood gathers. It's a really crazy stuff, but I'll try my best to explain. The blood gathers in this sac, let me call it a sac, and then every month when you have your period, the blood just, you know, comes together and form like a ball sort of around your ovaries, and then that is what is called cyst. So if it doesn't dissolve, the blood will keep accumulating, it will keep growing bigger, and then at the time, sometimes it causes pain, sometimes it doesn't cause pain, but mine started causing pain. And you know, the gynecologist just told me to come back in 3 months. This was in August. So I was supposed to go back in November 2020 for a follow-up, which is 3 months after, right? To go for a follow-up scan. I didn't, because I felt better. So I was like, there is really no need. So one thing about me, when I feel better, I don't go for follow-up checkups. So December, I started feeling weird. My body started feeling weird, but I didn't really think it was a big deal. Fast forward to January, I got sick. It was a combination of malaria, ulcer, mental stress, and a whole bunch of things. Basically, my immune system shut down. That was what it meant. So everything just came together, and then ovarian cyst was discovered, and then it was from one treatment to the other in 2021. You know, it was a really big deal. It cost me having to leave 2 jobs. Having to go back to my parents' house, then I was supposed to do surgery, and I didn't do surgery. And then I went to see another gynecologist in UCH, and I did another scan. This time around, the scan showed that it was endometrioma cyst. So an endometrioma cyst is a cyst that is formed by endometriosis. I'll talk about endometriosis some other day, not today, because that one is like the chief. So basically, my gynecologist told me I didn't have to have surgery to get it removed, that I could just go on hormonal therapy. So I would take this injection called Zoladex. So Zoladex is a gonadotropin. Yeah, I think that's the name. Gonadotropin injection that you take every month or every 3 months, depending on what milligram you take. So I was taking mine every month, and it is injected in your stomach. It's a subcutaneous injection. You know, they hold your, if they hold some flesh in your stomach, and then they put the needle in, and then they push the implant. So it's an implant. They push it into your stomach, and then it goes. Once it goes into your system, it shuts down your ovaries. That is what it does. So when it shuts down your ovaries, your ovaries do not produce eggs, like they do not release estrogen. So what typically causes increase in your ovarian cyst, the size and all that, is increasing estrogen production in your body. So what that implant, what that injection does, is to limit how much estrogen is produced in your body. This injection has side effects, which brings me to why I'm saying women are going through a lot. So, you know, this injection is supposed to help you solve the problem, right? Remove pain, reduce pain, and, you know, make it a better life, right? This injection can cause osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is bone loss. So what that means is your bone density will be reducing because of this hormone. So with time, if care is not taken, you have bone loss, and then once you have bone loss, I mean, your bone is weak, so you will practically become paralyzed. It causes depression. So if you have a history of depression or hypertension, they will typically advise you not to take it. because you just realize that you're sitting down in your room one day, and because somebody says something to you, start crying. Something that on a normal day would not even get to you, right? You would be having suicidal thoughts. All of these things happen to me, so I know what I'm saying. You can't stand for too long because of, you know, reduction in bone density. Then there is this particular one that is the king. You cannot escape that one. Hot flashes. Like, you can just sit down now and you're cold, and all of a sudden you're just hot and you're sweating, and everybody around you is looking at you like, why are you so weird? Why are you sweating? Like, you know, and you can't really wear your favorite clothes because you then sweat a lot, and everybody around you will start looking at you weird. Then I had rashes. My face was peeling, and when I say peeling, I mean peeling. You become bloated. Your stomach becomes typically 3 times the normal size. So, if I have a flat stomach, normally I have a flat stomach, but with that injection, my stomach will become like 3 times. You can't really wear the kind of clothes you want to wear, like all this bodycon, you know, to look good and all of that. Like, you're going for a party and you just want to dress up. You really can't do that. You would have to settle for a boo boo. I don't know, for a boyfriend gym, because trust me, you don't want to expose that tummy. You are so full. Every day you're full, even when you're not eating anything. Like, you'll be full all the time. And the reason you're full all the time is because of that injection, your body retains more water. So because your body is retaining water, you feel full all the time. So I could go on and on about the side effects that this injection brings, right? In fact, not just this injection, all hormonal therapy, contraceptives, I've taken contraceptives, I've taken injections, pains, they all have their side effects. So even if you have surgery, right, it is not 100% effective, because having surgery to remove the cyst, if you don't remove the ovaries, which is what happened to me. I had surgery last year to remove the ovarian cyst of both ovaries. But because my ovaries are still there and functioning, the cyst grew back in like 3 months. Yeah, in 3 months. And this time around, crazy. It came with a fibroid, right? So it's a never-ending cycle, basically. It's draining. And I think that's what I really want to talk about, even though I've been talking for too long. It's draining. It's not something that is. It's something that you just have to start living with. Like, it's your new reality. It's my new reality, right? I'm a child of God. I believe in miracles. I believe in healing. But you know, when you've prayed so much for something, you've confessed, you've read your Bible, you tell yourself every time, by his stripes I was healed, I do not have pain, I do not feel pain. But the more you're saying it, the more this pain is, it's crazy that as I'm even saying it right now, the pain is actually like, I'm actually in pain, not so serious, but I'm having discomfort, right? It's so crazy that, you know, you do not want to accept that this is your new reality. You do not want to accept that this is how my life is now. I can't really do the things I want to do. I'm going to be 30 next year, and this stage of my life is where I feel like I should have achieved some things and should be in some places doing certain things, right? Being at the peak of my career. I mean, I lost 2 years to sickness in career wise, and I just feel this is my time to, you know, break boundaries and go for everything that I couldn't do in those 2 years. And then you're going to your hospital and they are telling you you still have this thing that you thought you already got rid of. Like, I thought I was done with this thing. I thought after having surgery last year, that was it. I was going to be fine for the next how many years, you know, get married, have kids. I'm not even sure I want to have kids right now. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, because my body has gone through so much that I don't think I want to go through any sort of pain anymore, right? I I have this trauma about pain that each time I feel any slight pain, I am like losing it. I am angry, I am cranky, and I'm like, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. Like, I have been through so much already. So it's a very, very crazy time of my life, and I'm trying my best to keep it together, to be fair, because this thing is affecting my finances, my mental health, my relationship with people. Like, I'm withdrawing from people, I'm withdrawing from friends, I'm withdrawing from my family. I'm basically withdrawing from everybody because I don't want to be known as the sick girl. You know, my friends are going out, I can't even join them because, oh, I'm sorry, there's this medication I have to take by 9 p.m. so I won't be able to go with you to that party. Or, oh, I'll be late for that event because I have to make sure that my body is ready before I step out. It's a very, very sad and crazy life, because you just look at your fellow women, like your friends and, you know, your family, and you see women around you, they don't go through these things. It's not like I'm wishing that I go through it. I don't wish this for anybody, but you just see them. They don't have pain for menstruation. They can eat whatever they like. They can go to wherever they want to go, to wear whatever they like. Like, they can do things with their lives. Their salary is their salary. They don't have to use their salary to pay for any drugs or any medication, or have to worry about where their next, you know, appointment is going to be, and take that injection to take that injection to the hospital and say, oh, I'm here again. I feel like at the hospital, they know my face now. In the past 2 months, I've gone to the hospital more than I've ever gone in my entire life. I really just wanted to talk about this because it's really something that is heavy, and I can't afford therapy right now. I can't afford therapy right now, but This is an opportunity for me to talk about this thing, that if you know any woman around you, or anyone whatsoever, even if it's a stranger around you, going through any reproductive health issue, PCOS, endometriosis, some of them don't even know they are going through it, right? Ovarian cyst, please be supportive. Help them with money. Help them with listening ears. Be there for them. I know we're all going through a lot, especially in Nigeria. Oh my God, like, all of us are going through it right now. But in your own little way, pray for them. You know, if you read anything online that you think that they might need and you can buy it for them, please do. Hot water bottle is something that we need, right, for people going through this kind of thing. Fruit, chamomile tea, you know, just go online, read up if you can, and see how you can be of help to them, because it's very crazy. I won't even lie, it's crazy. It's lonely. It's a very, very lonely phase. See, even if you have like your loved ones around you, it will still feel lonely because you are the only one feeling that pain. Like, I am the only one feeling that pain, and it got to a point when people tell me I can feel your pain, I'm always like, nah, don't say that. You can't. You cannot feel the pain I'm feeling. I know people are trying to be nice and empathize, but trust me, you cannot feel that pain. It's a pain that radiates from your lower belly to your laps, to your rectum, to your back, to your side, your shoulder. Sometimes your eyes. I mean, my right eye was red for like a month, and it was as a result of reaction to the injection. So it's a lot. You wake up sometimes and like somebody beat you because you didn't sleep all through the night because of the pain, right? So in essence, what I'm trying to say is that it's a very lonely face. It's a very scary face. I live each day just praying and hoping that tomorrow will be better. And if tomorrow ends up being the same as today, I still hope again that the day after tomorrow will be better. Like, that's all we have, hope. And also, the medical practitioners cannot really do enough, because across the world, there is no cure for these things that we go through, right? You know, some people tell you, can't get married, get pregnant. Oh my God, I wish it were that easy. I would have done it years ago. But then, it's a lot, because even if you get married, part of the complication is that sex can be painful, and also these things cause infertility, so you might be struggling to actually get pregnant. So sometimes it's not really as simple as we think, because honestly, if it was simple, then maybe everybody suffering any productive health issue would have been to get rid of it, right? So yeah, that's basically it. I just wanted to come here to really talk. I didn't plan this, but I just really wanted to talk about this, because a lot of us don't even know what the next person to us is going through, and it's because we're so focused on ourselves, right? And I can understand that, and I know that, because I am like that. And because I am going through so much right now, I'm not even sure that I want to listen to whatever you're going through. I'm sorry, but I just feel like mine is so much. But for women, if you're going through a reproductive health issue, I also think that you should let your partner, if you're not married — some people detect theirs after marriage — but if you're not married and you have a partner, maybe things are getting serious, I would advise that you talk to them about it, and let them understand where you're coming from, and maybe let them see you in one of your episodes, maybe when you're having period pain or ovarian cyst pain or endometriosis, you know, whatever. Like me now, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a partner yet, but if I do have one and things are getting serious, I would want him to see me when I am going for my doctor's appointment. I would want him to be there with me to hear everything that a gynecologist would be saying. I would want him to know what it feels like to take my injection. I would want him to, you know, see me having my episode, having hot flashes and going crazy just because I can't find my key. And the reason for this is because these things don't really have like a cure, so to say. It's a condition that has to be managed. So if they don't see you and see how crazy it can get, they might not really understand the weight of what they are getting into. So it's always best to let them see and know that this is it. Are you ready to go into this? Because trust me, even me myself, I don't like myself right now. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I don't like myself right now. I don't like what my life looks like right now. So if somebody's coming into my life and want to say, oh, I want to be a part of this your life that you don't like, then I have to show them what it is that I don't like, and I need to make sure that they are ready to be a part of that. So yes, that's it. So like I said before, this is just a rant. Sorry I spoke for too long, but then again, I'm not sorry. It's crazy. Life happens, like we say all the time, but it shouldn't stop you from living, because trust me, as much as I'm in pain and all of that, I still try my best to live my life, right? But like I said, it's a really, really serious thing, because a gynecologist once told me that it's so bad that a lot of Nigerian women and young girls are going through reproductive health issues, and even the doctors, even the gynecologists, they don't know what to do about it. Like, there has been research, there has been, you know, a lot of things done, put in place, but nobody, like, none of them can say this is the solution. Even abroad, outside the country, like, there are a lot of women with endometriosis, with ovarian cysts. I read a story of a woman that said she has had laparoscopy to remove ovarian cyst more than 3 times in 1 year, and it doesn't stop. Like, let's even say that over there they have like a health insurance that covers, you know, their surgeries and all that. In Nigeria, how many people can actually afford a very a prestigious health insurance? Because these conditions are things that a 20k per year, 30k per year health insurance cannot cover. I'm sorry, because the injection alone, I don't even want to say how much it costs, but because the injection alone is somebody's salary. So how would people be able to afford that kind of thing? So a lot of people just end up with the pain. Yeah, part of my plan actually is to have a community of women, you know, have this reproductive health issue, like volunteers, a community, and you know, we have like outreach that we do to teenage girls, to talk to them about these things, because I wish somebody, anybody spoke to me about this thing before I became a full adult, right? So talk to young girls about these things and how they should, you know, be ready and prepared for what is to come, because whew, it's getting real. Okay, so yeah, that's basically what I'm going to talk about today. So yeah, I just see this as me talking to myself and then allowing you to hear all the things I say to myself when I'm looking at the mirror and dancing in my room. Oh yeah, by the way, I just moved to a new place. I just moved to a new apartment and I really love it. So yeah, in case you want to send me a housewarming gift, I'm still accepting gifts. Yeah, so till next time when I talk about endometriosis proper. See you guys. Bye.